Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Nokia 8, which is the world's first Bothy smartphone. Yes, that is actually a word. So we have been using this phone for a week thanks to our editorial head, that's Kunal Dua.
Hello world.
And we also have our games editor Rishi Alwani as usual to comment on his favorite Android phones.
Greetings.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab.
So wait, I think host or selfie talking... expert?
Oh, I'm the Bothy expert now, don't you know?
There we go.
Yeah, so we should start by talking about that feature because I think even at the launch event, I think in London, Nokia had highlighted that and they'd said that you can use the front camera and the back camera at the same time. So is this really like a big deal or is it just marketing nonsense as usual?
So first of all, I mean, this feature, even though they're marketing it in a big way, I think there have been third-party apps that have let you do that in the past, right? Where you can record the, at least still images, I don't know about video, but at least still images, you can do both the front and this rear camera at the same time. And it's, in practice, it's a nice feature to have when, let's say, you're with family or you're with your kids or where you're at a place where you want to record both, what's happening in front of you and your reaction as well. And but what Nokia is, or rather HMD has been pushing in a big way is their video streaming feature. So you can also do this with video as well, where you're recording video from the front and rear cameras at the same time. And they've also integrated Facebook and WhatsApp to their app so that you can live stream. So which again, they're pushing it in a big way. So a couple of people in our team were really excited that, you know, this is a great feature for us as journalists. Let's say we are at an event, we want to, we want to show what's happening at the event and we want to give our perspective as well. Now, personally, I'm not a fan of showing my face on camera, so I'm pretty happy with the rear camera setup. But I think, yeah, whatever works for you. So in practice, like I said, I mean, the feature definitely, it works as advertised. There were no hiccups. The phone does, warm up a bit when you do extended Bothy sessions. But I think that's considering the amount of processing power it is, considering the amount of processing it is doing to bring together those two video streams, that's understandable. And another thing worth pointing out right now is that why don't, you may wonder, okay, what's the big deal? Why can't other phones do this? Like I said, part of it can be done on other phones, especially the photos. I don't think that will be a huge problem, but the video part does require a lot of processing power. So HMD did work closely with Qualcomm and made the whole solution possible. But it's not an exclusive feature. I think you'll see, I think, a few other phones coming up with this feature as well.
Not just one question though, Kunal. While you mentioned that you'd be using it, you've been using it with Facebook, and I mean rather that it works with Facebook and WhatsApp. What about other streaming services like Twitch? Do they plan to integrate with them or even Twitter down the line?
So they're silent on that subject. So the other thing to note about this is that it works within the camera app, the stock camera app that comes with the Nokia 8 phone, which is like obviously a heavily customized version of the app. So the Bothy feature is available only within the camera app and third party apps. Like if you go to Facebook's app directly and try to live stream from there, or live video from there, you'll not be able to do that. You have to use the stock camera app, and right now it supports only YouTube and Facebook, and they've not really talked about integrating other apps or even opening up this feature to third party apps via an API or something.
Yeah, that sort of limits the application of this, right? Because, Facebook and YouTube are like the two most popular things. But if it can be done natively through those apps rather than like through Nokia's stock camera app, then it would be much better. But yeah, let's just see like what happens in the future and whether they actually open it up. So until then, I would still say, decent enough feature to have, I guess, but not particularly useful at this point in time. Another thing that really caught my eye with this smartphone is that there was this news report earlier on our site itself, which said that this phone is quite durable. There was YouTuber Jerry Rig Everything put it through a proper torture test. So it survived everything. But Kunal, you've been using it, so I guess you're in a better position to comment about this.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a Nokia. That's what I can say. I mean, it definitely... See, you know, the design is, there's nothing great about the design in terms of looks or, you know, calling in, you won't, I won't call it a striking design, but it's a very solidly built phone, and it's a very well built phone, even in the sense that, you know, even though it's solid, it doesn't feel that, okay, you know, that this is some, you they've used some cheap materials or something like that. That's not the case at all. It feels like a very premium phone in your hand. And I've tried both the matte finishes. One is the tempered blue and the other is steel, and I really, you know, dig the finishes. Both of them feel really nice. The glossy versions I imagine would be fingerprint magnets, but overall I mean, the so-called boring looks aside, the phone is definitely, it feels like a premium phone.
That's interesting how you described it, saying that it feels like a Nokia. So for our listeners who probably haven't had a chance to mess around with it yet, would you say that it's basically got a nice premium build quality, that that's got a more utilitarian there's an emphasis on utility on this over, you know, just, you know, having a nice bezel-less but fragile screen? Do you think the focus was there on actual ergonomics?
I would say the front is very, you know, it's all about utility, and but the back, and I mean, the ergonomics are really good. There are nice rounded edges, and it, when you hold it in your hand, it feels really nice. But it still feels like a really premium device. I mean, compared, while I was testing this, I went back and used the OnePlus 5 for a bit after a long time. And that felt like a real, you know, cheap piece of plastic after this, I can say that. So, I mean, it's not a great comparison to begin with, because I think even in our review, we had criticized the OnePlus 5 for its design. So it's not probably the best, the phone that comes closest in terms of design or build quality. But in terms of pricing, I think a lot of people will be deciding which phone to buy between those two. And I think if you value design, if you value ergonomics, if you value build quality, if you value in-hand feel, I don't think there is even a contest. It's like the Nokia 8 by far.
Yeah, so there are three phones in that price range now. There's the OnePlus 5, there's the Nokia 8, and there's also the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2. Now, since you've also had the Mi Mix 2 with you, can you like throw that one also in the mix and see like how that fares against these two?
Yeah, so I think that's obviously a completely different kind of phone. It's the new trend in town with the whole edgeless display or the bezel-less display, whatever you want to call it. So if you want something that's completely new and, you know, then that will turn heads, then you know, obviously it's Mi Mix 2 is the one to get. Again, I'm right now not getting into the relative merits and demerits of the phones, because I still haven't finalized my Mi Mix 2 review yet. So I'm not saying go ahead and buy the Mi Mix 2. I'm not saying don't buy it. I'm just talking about purely in terms of design. If you want something that is heads, you know, that will turn heads, then obviously Mi Mix 2 is the one to get. But having said that, like I said, you know, the Nokia 8 still feels like a premium phone. But the only thing that you might have against it is that, you know, it's the front especially, it feels like very boring and dated compared to the Mi Mix 2.
Yeah, while that edge-to-edge display is definitely trending, I still don't see a problem. Like, what is the issue with having a phone that has a slightly boring front if it works otherwise, right? As long as all the functions are fine, it's performing well, and also build quality is excellent, then I don't think it should be that big an issue, except, I mean, for people who really, really care about the looks, like as long as it's working.
Yeah, but I don't know, Pranay, to play devil's advocate to that. Well, while I agree completely as an iPhone 7 user that yes, looks aren't exactly a big deal, but I will also say this, that I mean, the reason why it ends up coming to prominence, right, is because everyone, if you look at the phones that are being marketed the most, that you see everywhere, they're the ones without the bezels. And it's also the whole envy factor, right? If everyone else is using a phone without bezels, why are you kind of left behind? It's a perception game as well. I mean, a lot of the times, for a lot of people, it seems that smartphones are an extension of who they are. So, and everyone wants to be with it and cool. So, I think that's, for that crowd, yeah, the Mix 2 seems to be a better deal.
Okay, so there are a couple of phones I would like to compare this against, but that's, you know, maybe like we'll get to that in a little while. Before that, we should be talking about more features of the Nokia 8. So fingerprint sensor on the front, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's like it's on the home button in the front, which is, I think, yeah, it's a sensible place to push it, to put it. And it works. It was very reliable. I don't think I experienced any issues with that. And obviously, compared to that, to the Mi Mix 2, which has it at the back. And yeah, and again, honestly, apart from the times when it's obviously the phone is lying in front of you, then obviously unlocking it is a problem with the Mi Mix 2. But when it's in your hands, especially at least for my hands, the position felt pretty all right. I think I mentioned this previously as well. So I didn't have major issues with it, but I'm not one of those who said, okay, no, the fingerprint scanner should only be in the home button. I personally like I'm definitely in the minority with this. I also like the side placement that Sony has for its fingerprint scanner. I think the index finger the left hand index fingers fits in very nicely there, so I had kind of like that implementation as well. So maybe I'm a little weird in that sense, but I think overall, if you ask most people, the Nokia 8 implementation with the fingerprint scanner at the front is probably the best.
Yeah, true that. Also, I noticed that this phone is supposedly made in India, although, you know, there are lots of like asterisks associated with that term, like no matter who's using it.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, it's made in India. I'm sure in the same way that all other phones that are made in India. And that's a subject for another day. But I think that's a nice thing to have on the list, I guess. Obviously, from the user's perspective, it doesn't make a huge difference. Maybe it helps keeps the costs down now with the whole Make in India push and some of the pre-assembled phones attracting higher taxes. If that helps keeps the cost down from a consumer's perspective, that's nice. But other than that, it doesn't make a huge difference.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, even when Nokia was selling phones as a company and not licensed to HMD, they also had their devices, at least after the first initial run of devices which were imported, a lot of them would end up being assembled or made in India. So it's nice.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think for Nokia has been doing this. The Nokia brand has been doing this for a while. Nokia, the company, was doing this with, I think, almost all its feature phones, and even the Lumias, if I'm not wrong, were also some of them were being made here. So but now, like I said, you know, even Xiaomi, a Chinese company, technically, I mean, again, they put Made in India stamps on their phones. So yeah, I think it's not a huge factor at this point in time.
Yeah, okay. So, Rishi, do you want to talk about that 3.5mm headphone jack, which is on this phone, and other connectivity options?
So, yeah, that it's nice to see that actually exist, considering the 3.5mm jack is, well, going the way of the 3.5mm jack, which means to say it's going to be gone soon, at least if, you know, you listen to Apple, Google, and Xiaomi. But yeah, that's nice to see. Expandable storage is also nice to see. So, I mean, a lot of stuff like this is at least useful for some sections of the Android market. I mean, sure, not all of them, but it's nice to see that's there. And aside from that, I think there's even a USB to 3.5mm adapter, is this something that that's also a part of what you get, right?
No, that's not doesn't come with this, because it does have a 3.5mm port. I think that does ship with the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2, which doesn't have a headphone jack. So on Nokia, I'm curious, because you mentioned I think we'll probably have to wait till Nokia 9, because even though this is the flagship right now, I think all indicators are that they will release another flagship phone soonish, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which will probably take on the likes of iPhone and the Samsung flagships head on. So I'm curious to see whether that also has a headphone jack. I think that's when we'll know what HMD really thinks of this port, because probably they might think, okay, this for this price segment, we need that. But for a true flagship, so-called, I'll be curious to see what they do with that.
I mean, where that would be concerned, I'm more curious to see what it would be priced at. Because for the longest time, even with their flagships, Nokia's had the perception of being a VFM choice. So it'll be nice to see what they end up doing with that.
But I think they're in a good spot, because I encourage everyone to check out a detailed review of the Nokia 8 on the Gadgets 360 website. But I think they've not really cut many corners with this device. As we note in our review, I think apart from the low light camera performance, I think, and the fact that it's not fully waterproof, it's a very, very good phone. I think what you're getting for this kind of price, it's not as if they've cut a huge amount of corners. So I think there is room for them to come out and say, you know, okay, yeah, for most people, Nokia 8 is our flagship. But if you're really in the market for a super premium device and, you know, money is really no object for you, then go ahead and check out the Nokia 9 or whatever that is called.
Yeah, I would expect that phone to have an H2H screen and whatever, showing all the latest features that are there in the market. Whereas this one, I was actually pretty impressed with the pricing of this phone. Simply because, I mean, I think that this is very, very close to their Europe price. And that means that, you know, we are actually not paying a huge premium for a change. So that's probably why we are even discussing this, because it has all, like pretty much everything that most modern flagships have, barring low light performance in the camera. But, you know, it's priced at a much lower point. Like it doesn't cost 60,000. I believe the price is, what, 37,000 in India right now?
Yeah, I believe 36,999, that was the price.
Yeah, so at that price point, this seems to be a pretty good deal overall, considering that Nokia has also promised, I mean, HMD Global has also promised Android updates for this regularly, and they've been pretty good with that so far.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the big selling points of this phone. HMD has been really prompt with the security updates so far. I think don't think they've pushed out any major updates to the phones yet. But they've been very prompt with pushing out the security patches that come out every month. And yeah, they're a big promise. And they can do that because it's essentially stock Android. So one of the problems that happens when you have a lot of customizations is that you have to incorporate all those customizations every time a fresh version of Android comes in and then test out everything. But if you don't have a lot of customizations to begin with, once Google says, okay, this is good to go, you are pretty much good to, you know, you do your certain basic amount of testing and you're good to push it out to your own consumers. So that is, even the relationships that HMD has with the carriers in other countries, they have been pretty particular, at least that's what the company has told us. They've been pretty particular that they don't want the carriers holding the updates back, because that's another trend in other markets. We in India don't experience this, but also I think most Android users don't experience an update at all, but that's another discussion again. So that we in India don't experience this, that at times the carriers will sit on an update for weeks because they're doing their own testing, because they put all kinds of customizations and everything, add their own bit to a phone. So because the phones are sold via them. So I think HMD has been pretty particular about that, and they have promised an upgrade to Android Oreo, and even I think all the phones in their current lineup, even including the Nokia 3, they've said that they'll get the Android P update as well, which is, I mean, great news for consumers, especially now. I think a lot of people say, you know, why should I care whether my phone gets an update or not? I think this crack attack is the best example why you should care. Because that's your phone is actually vulnerable right now. Your router is not. Your phone is the one which can compromise your entire Wi-Fi network. So if people who are stuck with old phones who will never get an update, their phones will probably always be vulnerable. I think a lot of details are still coming out, but who knows? It's definitely a possibility that their phones will always be vulnerable to this attack. So it's a pretty serious business. I think that's why Android OEMs who promise updates and deliver on them are great. That's why Apple. You know, software updates are a great reason to buy an iPhone. That Apple, whenever Apple wants, it can at least push out essential security patches, even to ones that are not getting the iOS update. They can at least push out a security update anytime they want, because the updates come directly from Apple.
Yeah, and actually coming back to the topic of stock Android and even the pricing, one thing is, yes, the fact that you're also going close to stock reduces an OEM's cost on development. That's one thing, and that's also why we're probably seeing a lower price. But what's even interesting to see is that if I'm not mistaken, the Nokia 8 is exclusive to Amazon, which would I mean, if we compare and contrast what we know about the Pixel 2 and what we know about the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2 is the fact that at least when Google talked about the Pixel 2 being extremely highly priced in India, it had to be with the fact that they wanted it available everywhere, right? So that's why it added to the price. And with the Mi Mix 2, because it's through Xiaomi's through Flipkart and through Xiaomi's own storefront, they're able to keep the price down. And I think this is exactly the same reason why we're also seeing a more competitive price point for the Nokia 8 and in line with European price, is because it's exclusive to Amazon for now. And again, it will also be fun to see whether this continues with their next flagship, you know, the Nokia 9 or their other devices going forward.
Yeah, I think right now they have a mixed strategy in terms of what they do is a phone is exclusive to a specific channel. So I think you'll get Nokia branded phones everywhere, both offline and online, but like certain models will be offline only and certain models will be online only. So that's a really, really clever strategy, I feel, because that means nobody is undercutting them, because what happens usually is like when the online guys start discounting, the offline sales really dry up and the distributors, the retailers are no longer, I mean, they're not happy and they don't want to, you know, then stock your product in the future. So, but if let's say, I don't remember from the top of my head which phones are exclusive. I think Nokia 6 is Amazon, but I think one of the three or five or maybe both are offline. So let's say phone X is offline only. So since it's not being discounted, those guys are happy to carry it even if the phone Y is being discounted online. So it's a really clever strategy. But I think the Nokia 8 might still be available via some of the bigger retail chains. But I think, that might be in the future. Because I remember the press release when the press release they sent out last week did say that it's probably going to be available offline as well.
We'll find out in the future. So one last thing I wanted to check is, how does this phone fare against the likes of the iPhone 7 and maybe the Google Pixel first one? Because those phones are also available in the same price range as the Nokia 8, Mi Mix 2 and OnePlus 5 now. So just wanted to check if, you know, both of you guys, what do you think is a better buy? I think Kunal, you should go first.
Let's start with the camera performance. I would say the iPhone 7 and the Pixel probably still have slightly better cameras, especially in low light. But other than that, I think it depends what's important to you, right? I think both iPhone 7 is still a great pick around. I don't know what price is it available. I think 37, 38 right now it was available, especially at least during the sales. So it's a great pick, and I would say between the, you know, talking about on the other side, let's say comparing it to the OnePlus 5, the Nokia 8, I would personally, I would prefer the Nokia 8 if I had to buy something for my personal use. But it depends. I think now the price difference, especially I think the OnePlus 5 has, maybe not officially, but it is usually available at a little bit of a cheaper price. So the price difference is 5,000-6,000. Rupees at times, which is not like small change. So there are various reasons. If I'm not making a lot of sense right now, it's because these phones are really, all of them are really good phones, and right, you know, it depends on what really you want from a phone. And so if you're looking for a really, really good camera, then you should probably go with the Pixel, though I'm not a fan of the overall package. I think there have been a lot of reliability issues. If you want a solid performer that will last you a long time, in terms of software updates, in terms of hardware features, I think your choice comes down to if you want Android, the Nokia 8 is a great bet. If you want the iOS experience, then the iPhone 7 is a solid pick. And yeah, I think OnePlus 5, I would not recommend to, if you are willing to spend this kind of money on the, if you have a budget slightly north of 35,000, I would not recommend buying the OnePlus 5 personally at this point in time. Rishi?
I'd look at it from this point of view, right? The point is, the iPhone 7, while still a decent phone, has got the short end of the stick in terms of battery life with iOS 11. So if you're looking to buy an iPhone 7, then just make sure you don't update till they fix everything. It hasn't been fixed yet. And this is something I've seen on a regular basis. From a nice 8-9 hour screen time, I'm down to like almost half. So that's one thing I'd keep in mind. Secondly, the 32 gig iPhone is cutting it close at this stage, simply because of the app updates and everything else that comes along with it. I mean, Facebook and the Facebook Messenger alone is quite a heavy update, and even some other apps like Telegram and the like, they end up being quite a huge download, and the updates are even equally big. So I look at it this way: if you want to go on iOS and you're not too happy with how the iPhone SE looks, yeah, the iPhone 7 is a good option, though I'm not too sure on the longevity of the 32 GB model. And even though that's the one that's available in the same price point, I'd still consider a higher capacity option. That aside, yeah, between the Nokia 8 and the OnePlus 5, it's, I mean, I was fortunate enough to mess around with a friend's one Nokia 8 over the last few days. And honestly, I'd still suggest that over the OnePlus 5, simply because stock Android, and at least for now, there doesn't seem to be any massive, privacy violation where my IMEI number and everything else is being transferred to a server in China. So to me, that's important. And considering, as Kunal said earlier, right, with the crack attacks, you want to make sure you're taken care of. And where stuff like this is concerned, Nokia seems to be the better bet. It's another story altogether. If you're in it for the looks, then yeah, it's the Mix 2. There is no other option. It just looks astounding. But and the Pixel is a no-show in my opinion, simply because, for one simple reason, is even at that current price point of 37, 38, it's still too expensive. The build quality, while solid, and while it still gets updates, you're still a year behind. Which means, while Google promises, I think, 3 years of updates for its phones, this will just get two. So you're buying a phone which already has a set expiry date. So I mean, I don't think that's an option at this stage either. So to me, it's essentially between the iPhone 7 and again with reservations, depending on whether you can get higher storage space and if you don't upgrade to iOS 10, and the Nokia 8.
11, you mean?
11, my bad. And Nokia 8.
Yeah, I think those battery issues. Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of complaints from people, and they're obviously genuine. But I fully expect that the iOS 11.1 update to resolve that. I mean, that obviously doesn't mean Apple didn't drop the ball with that, and it's a major issue. We've seen some a lot of complaints on Twitter as well, and many people who are unhappy with this. But this typically happens because their focus tends to be on the newer phones and how the new OS works on the newer phones. So the experience of existing iPhone users tends to suffer, which is again not acceptable at all. I think a company the size of Apple, literally the biggest company in the world, should have enough resources to devote devote attention and to be able to develop their only mobile OS for all their devices. And it's not as if they have like 800 devices to support. At the end of the day, no matter how many phones they push the update out to, it's still a handful of devices, and they should really do a better job with this. But yeah, based on past experience, I think the 11.1 update, that experience should get better.
Yeah, so let's see how that pans out. I think that's about everything we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening, and if you like the show, please do rate us on iTunes. Your ratings help us a lot.